With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Rock Chalk Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Mitz. Today, or tonight, we have a look ahead at the Oklahoma State game that's coming up tomorrow. We have this episode dropping tonight, our second in the day, just because if I waited till the morning, not many of you would get an opportunity to listen to this before the game actually starts. So with the game being pretty early in the day, I wanted to make sure you guys could go ahead and hear this with plenty of time to get preview for this game. Today we have Micah Allen, the site manager over at Cowboys Ride for Free, joining us to preview, you know, what we can expect from Oklahoma State, give us a little bit more of the inside details on that particular team. So I will go ahead and get you guys right on over to that interview.
And I'm joined now by Micah Allen, the site manager over at Cowboys Ride for Free. Micah, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. I was going to do our normal preview with Fetch, but he was unavailable, and I always like to take that opportunity to bring someone on who knows the teams a little bit better, because we can talk all we want about what we think is going to happen, but most of the time we really just don't know what's going on with these teams that we're getting ready to play. So first question I have for you, I was watching the game you guys had on Wednesday night, was hoping you guys could do us a big favor, and unfortunately you guys weren't able to pull off the upset victory at Texas Tech. So two-part question. First of all, what was it that allowed you guys to even be in that game? And how much should that concern us as Kansas fans going into the game against you guys on Saturday?
Two words, Lindy Waters. That's what happened in that game. He just could not miss a shot if he wanted to. And that really, really, really ended up helping out toward in the overtime. The last minute of the game was unlike anything I've ever seen from Lindy. So that's kind of what propelled us to get as close as we were with Tech. Because honestly, I didn't even really want to watch the game because I was like, we're going to get slaughtered. But you know what? They pulled it out. This team has grit. This team has fight in them. Despite everything that's happened with this season, with all the injuries and all the suspensions and all the people getting kicked off the team and all that, you know, they've found a way to keep some games tight and, you know, even win a couple. So I think it came down to Lindy Waters and just not wanting to lose that game.
Yeah, I mean, it was a phenomenal effort. He made 7 of 10 3-point shots. And, you know, I was thinking, man, that must have bumped his average up quite a bit. But I'm looking at his KenPom page. He's shooting 46.9% on his threes. And before the game, he was at 45% even. So he's already a really good 3-point shooter. And he's shot 130 of them now on the year. So it's not like super high volume, but it's enough that this is actually him, you know, shooting really well over the course of the season, as opposed to just getting hot for a couple games. So, I mean, is he probably the key guy for you on your team? Like, does the team kind of go the way that he goes in any particular game, or was he just really hot in this one?
It's a mixture of both. You know, him and Thomas DeZagua do a majority of the work from downtown. You know, but Cam McGriff really steps up when you need him to. You got those three juniors that are just kind of on any given night, one of them can step up and have a game, and that kind of determines how the game is going to go. But if none of them can get hot, then it's really bad. So,
yeah, and I actually just saw that DeZagua is shooting 45.1%, and he's shot over 200 three-pointers. So, you know, that seems to be where Kansas seems to struggle a lot, is defending the three-pointer. So I'm assuming that you guys are expecting that to kind of be the key to the game, whether those two can get going from three.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. I think that in any particular game, that's kind of what's going to steer the course for the game is whether or not either both or one of those guys can get hot. Because in this past game, it was DeZagua in the first half, and then in the second half, Lindy picked it up and did what he did. So.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of what jumps out to me, and I'm the most worried about is just the fact that you guys have two really good three-point shooters, and Kansas seems to be absolutely horrendous when it comes to guarding the three. I'm looking at their KenPom page right now, and while they have the third-ranked defense in the conference and 16 overall in the nation, their three-point percentage defense is it's eighth in the conference and 146th in the nation. So, you know, that's definitely the weakness of this team is being able to defend well against a three-pointer and then giving up offensive rebounds, even on three-point attempts. So, I guess one other question I kind of have for you is what is the biggest concern that you have coming into this game in terms of how Kansas matches up with Oklahoma State?
I am really concerned about defensively being able to stop KU. You know, they can make shots. They have some really good guys that can make shots. And I think that's, you know, I think it's going to be kind of the same thing as the last game they played. They just got, you know, with the personnel issues that we have right now, as far as just strictly having enough people, you know, they get tired legs toward the end of games. And, you know, you've got those three juniors playing a majority of games, and that wears and tears on you. You know, injuries is another big one. Likely sat out for, I can't remember exactly how long, but he sat out in the Texas Tech game because of an ankle injury, I believe. So we'll see if he's doing better. But yeah, it's just simply a matter of I'm worried that they're just going to run out of gas, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we've run into that at times. Last year we had, you know, seven players total that were playing all of last year with so many transfers. And then this year, we've had times where we've been down to eight guys total, just with guys that we couldn't really play for whatever reason. So, I mean, I definitely understand. We obviously didn't have the same kind of problems you guys are having. You know, we haven't had to hold open tryouts in the middle of a season to try to get a full roster. So, but, you know, I guess that's kind of talking about the season as a whole. You know, were you guys really expecting much coming to this year?
I think it was kind of, it would depend on who you asked. There was some people that were really, really excited about this season, and they were like, yeah, we're going to, you know, win the Big 12 tournament, and, you know, all that stuff. And then there was, you know, the people that were kind of more pessimistic that were like, it's going to take another year before we're really good, you know. And I was kind of expecting us to be at least decent, you know, at least make the tournament, the Big 12 tournament, and... You know, because we had a lot of the returners from last year, you know, but then everything happened and it kind of just all came crashing. So,
right. I mean, so last year you guys finished 8-10 in the conference, which was actually good for a tie for sixth in the conference, with four teams tying for sixth, which was actually absolutely insane. You guys got a 2 seed in the NIT. It seemed like you guys were building something and that it was going to at least, you know, you guys were at least going to be able to probably try to move up into the middle of the conference this year. And obviously that hasn't happened. But I mean, what really kind of led to that? It looks like there was a few injuries. But to be honest, I'm not really familiar with everything that happened with Oklahoma State. I just remember the story about you guys having open tryouts. So
the main thing that happened was we had three players that were dismissed from the team, for a violation of team rules. We're not exactly sure what the situation was. It apparently involved something that happened at a party. Like I said, that's all just speculation. Well, that's all just speculation though. But right. Yeah, so we had those three guys that were dismissed from the team. And then we had it's a lot of discipline issues. And there was another player that was not part of that support, that was part of a separate situation, that decided to transfer. And just like I said, situations with, you know, disagreements, I think, as far as what Coach Boynton was expecting of them versus, you know, what they were doing you know?
And you know, he is a fairly new coach. I mean, that's kind of to be expected, especially since, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think he actually has any other head coaching experience. Is that correct?
Yes. He's only been an assistant.
Right. So, I mean, a brand new head coach for the first time, you know, even though he's been around the program previously and all that, it's kind of difficult, I think, for him to step in this first role and necessarily everything run smoothly. So you kind of expected maybe a little bit of tension there, a little bit of kind of learning on the job and getting used to being the guy that runs it. But I thought he did fairly well for the first, you know, for the first, season or so. And it's been a little bit of growing pains, obviously, but when you play in one of the best conferences in the nation, it's definitely hard to kind of learn on the job and be competitive at the same time. So, you know, it seems like you guys actually have, I mean, I think there's an argument to be made that Mike Boynton is probably towards the bottom of the coaches that are in the conference. But again, that's only because of how new he is and just how stacked this conference is in terms of coaches. So, you know, we've actually had this argument, and I think in terms of most of the people that I've talked to, I think we tend to put him in the 7 or 8 range in the conference. Just a few guys that we like to rag on quite a bit who somehow have their teams pretty up pretty high this year. But I won't drop any names in Scott Drew and Bruce Weber, but anyway, but no, anyway, so I guess at this point, what are your expectations for this team for the rest of the year? It seems like they have an opportunity to play spoiler a little bit. You know, they are playing Kansas, obviously hosting them, and then they go on the road on Wednesday to go play at Baylor. Obviously they're not expected to win any of those games, but they can have a pretty big impact on how the Big 12 conference race shapes up. Do you think that the team or the fan base is really embracing that role, or are they kind of just trying to make a push to get some sort of positive coming out of the end of the season?
I think it's the latter. I think they honestly are just kind of ready for it to be over at this point. Mm-hmm. That includes the staff at Calvary Dodger Free. You know, I think at this point, you know, it's one of those deals where, you know, we have a bunch of really, really good guys coming in next year as far as new recruits. And, you know, it's just about getting excited about that at this point. But, you know, I do think there is an opportunity to play spoiler. And, you know, Bill Self likes to give wins to his alma mater. So, you know.
Yeah. Actually, that's been a big point of discussion. Like, this is the game that I think most of us were afraid of anyway before what happened with Texas Tech. It's because we always seem to play poorly down against Oklahoma State. And really, we seem to play poorly against Oklahoma State in general when – you know, the stakes or the conference aren't very high. So like the random one that you just lose out of nowhere when it doesn't really matter too much, that seems to be Oklahoma State every single year. He's done fairly well, I think, when the results have actually mattered, like when we have to have the win to be in the conference race. So it gives me a little bit of hope for this game, but there is still a lot to worry about. So I am going to go ahead and jump back into the game real quick, but before I do that, I'm going to go ahead and throw it to a quick break. We'll be right back on the Rock Chalk Podcast. All right, so I teased it before the break. We're jumping right back into the actual analysis of the game itself. We talked a lot about what Oklahoma State does. I kind of want to talk a little bit more about what Oklahoma State's going to be able to do on defense, because like you had said, like we had talked about, you know, that is kind of, I think, the area of concern for Oklahoma State in this one. They have the worst defense, according to Ken Pom, in the Big 12 Conference. They have problems in terms of turning people over. You know, they have pretty much, unfortunately, it seems like they have problems pretty much everywhere. The only place that they're really good is in not allowing offensive rebounds. So I guess my question for you is, does that come from not really having anybody who can play down low very well, in terms of, you know, giving up all these other, stats, like, you know, they're 8th in the conference in 2-point percentage defense. They're 10th in steals, they're 9th in effective field goal percentage. So like, it just seems like a lot of this has to do with that people are shooting twos against them really well. Does that have to do with the personnel that they have down low, or are they just not been playing very well overall?
I think that the main problem that we have on defense is not having a good big. And I'm not this is not anything against Urena, because he's going to be a really good big. I just don't think that he's there yet. He's a freshman, you know,
and
was not supposed to play as much as he is, I don't think. So I think a lot of it has to do with that. And then, like you said, it's just overall, you know, this team gets tired, I think, down the stretch. And as you play more and more games, that starts to wear on you, you know. And so I think that that's mostly what's to do with it. I think that, you know, at times, you know, we can be really good on defense. Yorne is in the running for, I want to say, like, fifth in total blocks in OSU history in the season. So there's that. He can block really well, and I think he has potential, but like I said, I think this team is just really young as well too. You don't have a single senior on the floor right now. So that can hurt you too on defense. So I think that it's a combination of a lot of stuff.
Right, like in terms of, let's see, it looks like the only senior you had on the team was Cunningham, is that right?
Yes. And yeah. He was the one that transferred.
Right. I see. He only played 7 games for you guys. So, but yeah, I mean, so I was about to ask, likely, you know, it looks like he handles the point guard duties for you guys. Him being a freshman, I mean, how good of a season has he had, and how worried are you about him matching up with Devon Dotson?
He's had a really, really, really good season. And I think he's been able to play up to his competition pretty well. But at the same time, with him being so young, there are times where you're like, why? Like, why would you do that? But overall, I think he's had a really phenomenal season. And I've been really, really, really impressed with Lightly and how he's been able to step up to the plate. Because he was another one that was not supposed to play as much as he is. So I think he's going to be really, really good for us in the future as well. So I've been pretty happy with the season that Lightly's had, and I think that he'll match up pretty well against Dotson.
Yeah, the other matchup that I'm intrigued by, and I mean, we saw a little bit of this in the first game that they played, was Cameron McGriff against Dedrick Lawson. Those are clearly the two best big guys for each team on the floor. I thought I saw them matching up a decent amount. They seem to have similar sort of games where Cameron McGriff is the biggest guy they have on the floor, but he's not really a true big. He doesn't really play like a center or anything like that. And being 6'7", he, you know, seems to be more like a forward. You know, Urena was on the floor, but and actually he played 38 minutes, so never mind. He was on the floor a lot, but didn't really seem to be necessarily too effective. But so Cameron McGriff led all of Oklahoma State scorers last time when they played at Allen Fieldhouse with 22 points, and seemed to do it similar to the way that Dedrick Lawson does it, where, you know, making a decent amount of twos, getting some good 3-point attempts in there. But in general, just kind of playing an all-around game. Are you expecting him to kind of do that same sort of thing in this game coming up? And do you think he's probably going to draw the defensive assignment against Lawson?
Yes, I definitely expect him to have that same sort of game. He really likes playing KU. He was huge in the game in Allen Fieldhouse last year.
Right.
And just was big in both of those games, and he really likes playing KU, and I think that he'll be a really good matchup for whoever he matches up against. I do think he is going to draw that matchup, and like I said, I just think that he's going to really step up on Saturday and try to have as best of the game as he can.
Yeah, so I guess the only last player that I wanted to ask you about is, first of all, did you see what Mitch Lightfoot did against Kansas State on Monday?
No, I did not get a chance to watch that game.
Oh man. Yeah. It was big. And I'm wondering if he's going to be able to, I was going to ask you if you think he could have a similar sort of game. But in that game, he came up with huge blocks. He basically shut Dean Wade down the entire night. Let me see if I can actually go pull up that particular game so I can read you the line and then see if you might be a little worried about Mitch Lightfoot somehow going crazy.
I mean, I'm always worried about Mitch Lightfoot. Let's be real.
What?
I said I'm always worried about Mitch Lightfoot.
True. He seems to come on at weird random times where people aren't expecting it. And, you know, they need him more than ever now. He played 31 minutes on Monday. He only scored 9 points, but he had 5 rebounds. He had 3 blocks. And so he just seemed to be all over the place, was playing really good defense. So I guess how worried are you that he's going to have another big game that's going to lead Kansas to a victory on Saturday?
I think he'll be big for KU, like I said, but I don't think he's necessarily going to have a big of a game, just simply because of the fact that, you know, this is the second time around. So I feel like they're going to kind of know what to expect from him a little bit more.
Well, and granted, when they played him when they played Oklahoma State the first time, Mitch played 20 minutes and only scored 6 points. He wasn't a really big part of the team at that point in terms of the rotation wise. About the only thing he did well was he gave all 5 of his fouls. So,
I think that, you know, or like you said, it could be a situation where because he didn't play as much, you know, they're not going to be expecting him, and he could go off for, you know, 15 points.
Yeah, I've come to the conclusion that the Big 12, you really just don't know what you're going to get, because every single one of these teams, Kansas is the perfect example of this, is every single night it seems like a different player just goes crazy. You know, and then other players that you're expecting to play really well kind of fade in the background. I think we've seen that from pretty much every team in the conference this year. So I'll ask you kind of one last question here. What do you think is going to happen in this game? Like, what is your actual prediction for the game?
I think that it's going to be close, but I think KU comes out with the win. I'm thinking like a 85-80 situation. So I think there is going to be quite a bit of points scored. But I do think that KU comes out on top. But like I said, I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, I always have a hard time with these kind of games because, you know, Oklahoma State's defense isn't really that great necessarily. And their offense, like, it seems like it would be the makings of a big margin of victory for Kansas just because, you know, how the teams have been playing recently. But I also know that Kansas plays horribly on the road. And the problem has always been you don't know if it's, you know, if it's the offense is going to be really bad or the defense is going to be really bad. It could be either one. So we could have a really high scoring game and it could end up, you know, like 90-85, or we could have a really low scoring game and it would end up like 65-62 or something like that. I do agree with you. I think that Kansas is probably going to win this game. But it's not going to be easy in any way. They may be able to get a big lead at some point, but they're not going to be able to keep it. They may go down really big. And like if it is a blowout, I think it's more the other way, that Kansas would be getting blown out just because for whatever reason they can't play well on the road. But I do ultimately agree with you. I do think that Kansas wins this game. I'll probably predict some sort of mid, and I'll give my official prediction a little bit over on Rock Chalk Talk for anyone that's listening and is curious, but I think it's probably going to be in the mid-70s or something like that. It should be an interesting game, but all right. Well, anything for anyone that's coming down to watch the game down there, is there anyone in or anything in particular that they need to make sure that they do while they're down there?
Go to Eskimo Joe's and get the sweet pepper bacon cheese fries.
Sweet pepper bacon cheese fries. Oh, that sounds absolutely wonderful. I'll have to make sure that the next time I'm in Stillwater, I'll have to make sure I do that. So, all right. Well, Micah, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
And that'll do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. As I promised earlier today, I've got the rest of the breakdown of what's coming from the Kansas athletic teams. As we mentioned earlier, day 4 of the Big 12 championships will be happening tomorrow on Saturday. The rowing team has a scrimmage at Tulsa. That will also, and there doesn't appear to be any broadcast details or anything like that. So we'll kind of pay attention to that as we can. The softball team has another doubleheader scheduled for Saturday. They have a 10 a.m. game against Mississippi State. That is in Durham, North Carolina. And then they will be playing at Duke, at 4 p.m. Both of those games are going to be on the Jayhawk Radio Network, the Duke game you can see on the ACC Network Extra if you happen to have that channel available. Obviously, the men's basketball team is playing at 11 a.m. Saturday morning. That's the game we talked about. That is on CBS, so it's not your normal it's not your normal broadcast team or your normal ESPN channel. So, and then the women's basketball team is playing against West Virginia. They're hosting them at 7 p.m. on the Jayhawk Network, on the Jayhawk Radio Network. So if you have not had an opportunity to see them, I would definitely recommend getting out there to see them or watching them on television. They are also on ESPN Plus. That's most likely, for those of you that aren't in the area, the only way you're going to be able to see them. So, also coming up this weekend on Sunday, the softball team plays one final game against Charleston Southern. That's also in Durham. That's at 8:30 in the morning. That's on the Jayhawk Radio Network. There doesn't appear to be any TV. And then the baseball team is playing their finale at 11 a.m. on Sunday. They aren't playing on Saturday. They're going to have the final, that three-game set on Sunday against Northern Illinois. That'll be at 11 a.m. Again, in that stadium down in Texas. The best way to catch them will be on the Jayhawk radio, which is the online radio. So, and then finally, the tennis team will wrap up their action on the weekend at noon. They're going to be playing at Oregon, another good team for them to test themselves with. So, then finally, we're probably going to have one more episode prior to this, just recapping the action over the weekend. But just in case we don't get back to you before this actually happens, the women's basketball team is playing on Monday, March 4th at 6:30. That will be on the Jayhawk Radio Network. They are playing up at Iowa State. So that will be an interesting game for them. Hopefully they can get one of these wins here. They really, really need a strong push to finish off the season. It hasn't really been the greatest season for them, unfortunately. So we're hoping that they can make a strong push and get some positive momentum moving into next year. So, but that will do it for today's episode. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Like I said, it's really a joy for us to be able to bring this content to you. We're enjoying our new home at the Rock Chalk Talk Podcast Network. And as I mentioned previously, we are looking to expand the offerings that we have on that podcast channel and add to the things that we can go ahead and bring you guys. So, if you do have any comments or questions or suggestions for us, you can contact this particular show, on Twitter at Rock Chalk Pod. You can also contact us by email at rockchalkpodcast@gmail.com. Again, I'm always open to your comments, questions, suggestions. If you have any people you want us to try to interview or anything like that, then we're definitely all ears. So please do contact us. If you haven't already, please find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts. Also up on Stitcher. Rate, subscribe, 5 stars, nice comments, all that fun stuff. It really makes it easy for us to get out there for more people to see, and so we can bring you guys better content. So once again, thank you guys so much for listening today, and we will catch you next time on the Rock Chalk Podcast.